KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. It's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your host for Chatterbox.
That's right. Here we are, the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name's Alon.
And my name's Ara.
And my name is Rich.
So we do this here radio show every week. It's called Chatterbox Video Game Radio, and you can learn more about it at our website, which has remarkably little information, chatterboxgameshow.com. However, during the show, you can join in live with our little chat. In fact, you could chat all week long. We just won't be paying attention to it unless the show is live. And you can just go to our little chat room on the website. Rich, you're in there now, right?
Indeed, I am.
Who's your favorite chatterboxer in the chatterbox room right now? I'm really looking for you to just pick one at random.
You know, I might have to go with Zelda Player 64, despite his horrendous naming conventions.
He's an active one, actually.
Also,
I always thought it was Zelda Playa 64 and somehow referring to some kind of barren desert
Playa.
Land.
No. But. And then his gamer tag is just a ridiculous combination of using 360 and X's, and it's ridiculous.
Okay, well, today we've got quite a few things to do. This weekend I came across a game because someone actually, I didn't realize that there's a lot of different communication mediums that exist today, right? People have IM and they have Twitter and they have Facebook and, you know, there's digital and analog forms, but one that probably has a lot of effect, right? You have a friends list, and we all know that marketing from people you know is a lot more valuable, probably a thousandfold than actual marketing from something like a commercial or something, right?
And it's also a thousandfold more annoying when you find out that it's just marketing and not like what your friend actually thinks about something.
Well, but that's rare, right? So like if you, Ara, tell me, hey, Alon, you should go try this game, X, or the Red Star or whatever.
Sure.
I'm more apt to play it than if a bunch of people I don't know say I should play it.
Well, first you look
50 people
and see if I actually was involved in it, and then... And then if I wasn't, then you'll actually probably take my opinion.
Perhaps.
Something of value.
For the most part, the stuff you've been involved in also pretty good.
Oh,
okay.
That's very nice.
I don't know about for the most part. I haven't done the measurements. But at least in some rare cases, some of the stuff you've been involved in is good.
All right.
Let's
Let's quit with that while I'm ahead.
Okay, good. So anyway, I get a message. Rich, you got the very same message from the same person.
I did. And I was like, who is this guy? How did he end up on my friends list?
I know him. So I met SunDevil56, that's his Xbox username, or Xbox Live username. I met him on Xbox Live, and he had a SunDevil thing. Oh, you're in Arizona, right? And whatever. So we became friends, and we've, you know, seen each other IRL
And now you're
several
moving
times.
In together.
No. So anyway, I know he is. We played 1 vs. 100. The first time I played, he was there.
Okay.
So that's probably why he friended you. Anyway, he sends everybody a message saying, hey, stop what you're doing. Play I Made a Game with Zombies in It. Right now, buy it for a dollar, best dollar you'll ever spend. And so I was like, well, I mean, I'll trust you, Sun Devil. Let's give it a shot. So I am not so free about giving up my single dollars. Or it might be that I just don't have any points. But I got the demo, which is good enough to get a feel for the game. And I instantly enjoyed myself and was laughing and loving it. And I told Rich a couple days later, dude, Did you play this game? He was like, no, but I got this message about it. I should totally try it. And he had gotten the demo. I said, you have to play this now. Turns out it's actually made by James Silva, the same guy who started Ska Studios, who is one and the same, or the guy who made The Dishwasher, which was the first community game that Microsoft ever talked about, like at GDC 2 years ago. They're like, hey, we're going to start doing community games. Here's a great example of someone who used our XNA kit to build a game. And The Dishwasher was the demo. And it was one of those few downloadable community games before community games were even available.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Did not know it was the same guy until now.
So anyway, I Made a Game with Zombies in It, made by James Silva. Hopefully he'll be calling in next segment. And so I'll save any more commentary on the subject until then. But if anyone feels like talking to him or asking him a question, feel free. 866-536-1100. Just call in next segment when he calls
in. I love
it
when you give out the number like that.
Because
then I don't have to talk over you and talk.
Exactly. So it was great, and we'll talk about it again later. Now, Ara, you...
I had a crazy weekend.
Crazy weekend.
My weekend was filled with watching fires exploding on mountains and dodging things.
Were you at Burning Man?
Some successful, some unsuccessful. No, there's actually fires in California.
Yeah.
That was actually just miles away from where my grandma lived.
All right, not cool.
And not cool, but the consolation was that I got to see Arnold Schwarzenegger on TV say, "These files are still totally out of control." And so that just made my day.
Wasn't he supposed to be having a garage sale this weekend?
I don't know.
The big, like, California really? Arnold Schwarzenegger garage sale?
I don't know. Yeah. But of everything that's happening, like, they pick that one quote. They pick that to tell us what's going on. These files are still totally out of control.
Is that like the soundbite where they play it over and over?
Well, yes. That's the exact one. Exact quote.
All right. And then you had a little fire of your own on the way back, right?
Yeah. And then somebody decided to throw some I don't know how big that tire was. This huge tire flying at my car.
Usually truck tires. Wait. It was in motion when it hit you?
Yeah. It came out of the car in front of it.
Wait.
I thought it was just something laying on the highway.
Well, it's...
Because there's always rubber from trucks staying.
Honestly, it happened so quickly that it was like... I felt like a ninja, except one that tripped.
So you got out of the way mostly, but it still hit your car?
Now, yes, and I'm incredibly disappointed. Not that it hit my car, but because I pride myself on my ability to dodge things while in my car.
Yeah.
And as you know, I'm always complaining that people are basically pointing their cars at me and trying to steer into me.
It's funny because Ara loves his car, I think, more than anything else on this planet. And he has more body work done, like, with real need, not like he's just being nitpicky. Ooh, I need to take it in the shop because of a scratch. Like, real need brings your car in more than anyone I've ever known.
It's painful.
I brought my car in this weekend to get a repair because someone may have hit it. I can't think of who. But someone...
I wonder who would have done something like that.
Someone may have hit my car.
That person might even be in this room.
Maybe, but I don't want to point fingers.
I wonder if the car was parked behind another car.
Well, I do. It's definitely not me.
Somewhat dark outside near sunset.
Yeah. So anyway, first time I've ever had body work done, ever, and it was minor. Meanwhile, you're getting things flinged at your car left and right.
Yeah, it was really bad.
So what happened with this tire? Was it, like, purposeful, like, throwing a tire out a window, or did
car? You guys have seen tire, like, shards, you know, on the
freeway.
Yeah,
little pieces all over the freeway.
This is as frequent as, like, tweakers and javelina in Arizona.
I don't know what that means.
Meth addicts and wild pigs. Yes, they're on the streets all the time.
Okay.
But anyway, this is a whole tire. It must have been a truck tire because it was gigantic. Right, and it was separated, but it was still a whole tire.
So you didn't see it fall from the car in front of you.
It was a whole tire.
You saw a whole tire bouncing in the street, and you weren't able to avoid it.
No, it was whole. By that, I mean it was one piece. Okay. But it was not drowned. It was much more snake-like. It was very sinuous.
Okay.
And it was hurtling at me in an unpredictable way.
All right.
Okay, now note, it's nighttime.
So it probably just came off of a car, but... from an actual wheel in use, not from the bed of a truck.
It came off of something. No. It came off of, yes, it was presumably in use before it came at me.
Gotcha.
Right? Nighttime, okay, going 80 miles an hour, okay?
Not unreasonable for this trip you were taking.
No, not at all. Unless
you're the law, in which case it's unreasonable. But
my memory of this event, it was literally just as if it just appeared, like it blinked right, like 5 feet in front of me.
Were you open road, like nobody left and right? You were able to dodge?
There were cars in front of me, right? So it basically came out of this other car, which, you know, was probably some kind of, like, I think it was some kind of Jeep who didn't care about what it ran over.
See, me, I'm right. So altruistic, man. I'll be like, wow, there's a car on my left and I'm on my right. I'm just going to have to take this one for the team so that the other cars don't get totally screwed when I bob and weave. Or so that it doesn't fling off and hit them.
Well, that wasn't even the case because there weren't any cars actually, like, behind me or side by side. So I just saw the thing, and really, I mean, at that point, this thing materializes 5 feet in front of you. You have there's no conscious decision-making taking place whatsoever. So just my hands just did what they normally do, and it was about 6 inches too short.
All right.
And so the thing hit the side. It ripped off my my side skirt. Yeah, it's good times.
All right. Yeah,
so now
you're going to be without a car for another week?
So now basically I feel like I've been playing like grid when you get like some car damage and your car's continuously veering to the right.
Dude, there should be stuff flying
in real life.
Yeah. So last week you almost didn't make it to the show because your car was in the body shop, right?
Right. Well, not the body shop. That was actual real repairs because...
Okay. Not body shop, inner parts.
Yes. Inside parts. My water pump failed for those who care.
All right.
Probably don't, but yeah, those good times.
All right.
But I've been very lucky. I would attribute all of this to the fact that I get into accidents so infrequently, and things go wrong with my vehicle so infrequently that I think it's just catching up to me now, and I'm just having to do all this at once.
Yeah. By the way, the result of all of this, Rich, is that I have no idea where my insurance paperwork is anymore. I don't know if I left it at your place.
It could be.
I could have sworn I grabbed it, but it's not in the rental car I got.
It's not my fault.
Anyway. Hey, let's power through a couple of stories before the break. Let's see how many we can get through.
Gosh, Norm, we have, what, like a minute?
Come on, like
a minute and a half?
Plenty of time. All right. One minute. Here's some news, right? So Take Two actually reached a settlement for the GTA hot coffee incident.
I could have sworn that we just decided we didn't care about this anymore. This happened years ago.
Well, yes, but...
That was totally me. Sorry.
Fantastic. So there's a $20 million settlement, which means that hot coffee problems go away. Now I actually checked their stock ticker. Today, they didn't really budge much of anything. So maybe the reaction will be
tomorrow.
Well,
when was this announced?
It was today.
Was it announced after 4 p.m.?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe yes, maybe no, maybe sometime around there.
Who could possibly get this money? It's so long ago. The kids that were supposedly destroyed by it years ago.
Here's the thing.
Can I get it?
$15 million paid by insurance, $5 million paid out of pocket by Take Two. Guess who gets the money?
ESA?
The lawyers. I doubt anyone else would get any money.
I can't imagine who it's going to go to.
I don't know.
Oh, all right.
Not anyone who deserves it.
We'll be right back, James, if you're listening. Call us.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
God, that buzzing is horrible. All right, just unplug.
That
sounds good.
There's just unplug. Yeah, turn that thing off.
Oh, there's a lot of buzzing.
You're killing me. There's so many zombies in that song that it, I guess, made the...
It was going to be really fun really to listen to, sound. But...
This is a horrible intro to the second segment, and I apologize. We were trying to play some music relevant to the I Made a Game with Zombies in It, but... Apparently, we can't play music without serious buzzing. But now it's not buzzing.
I think Norm turned it off.
Turned off the mic?
Okay.
Yeah. And now he turns it on and the buzzing happens.
That's like, isn't that the sound they used to like scare teenagers
Someone
away
should
from
talk to Jason about
in front
this.
Of malls?
Here, do you see Jason in the day, Norm? Can you? All right, well, I certainly don't see him. He should... What?
Well, that would explain the malfunctioning equipment.
Shows what I know. All right, well, someone should get that fixed. All right, so before we move on, as always... I want to remind everyone about our fantastic sponsor, the University of Advancing Technology. I found out today, by the way, that they sponsor PodCamp in Phoenix. Yeah, good job. Good job.
What's that?
PodCamp, like a podcasting thing where people around town come and talk. And I don't know. Anyway, PodCamp AZ. They sponsor that. They sponsor a lot of things. They're really cool. UAT.edu is the website where you can learn about the programs they offer to you as a potential student.
Because really, I mean, if there's anything we need in this world, it's more podcasts.
Yes. Well, I mean, we might not. But we're all friends. It's good times. Anyway, we have James on the phone, so I want to bring James, the creator of I Made a Game with Zombies, either in it or not at all, on the line. James, you're there.
Yeah. Am I?
What's up, James?
Hey.
Do you remember being on the show once before?
Vaguely, but I think I forget who you are every time we meet.
That's okay. We forget who you are every time.
It's funny because I'll see James like wandering around the shows, GDC and E3 or whatever. I was like, hey, dude, and he's like, hey, and he always does that same thing where, like, you have to pretend you know the person and just see how long it takes for them to realize, right? And I was like, oh, I'm Alon. He's like, uh-huh. From Chatterbox, you're totally on our radio show. Oh, I totally get it. And then I'm not sure if he does or not. And I give him my card for the 18th time.
It's one of those things where when I'm walking away, like, half hour later, I'm like, oh, that's the guy, you know? But, yeah.
Yeah, no,
on the spot, I'm pretty bad with that kind of thing.
But the first time we met you, too, it was at, like, GDC when they were announcing, you know, the community games and stuff. And I imagine you met probably 1,000 people that weekend.
Maybe 20, you know.
Maybe 20.
That's
almost the same.
Add some zeros. all right, so anyway, James, before we actually talk about this new game, I wanted to ask you, because there's a little bit of a discrepancy. I've looked up the information on Xbox.com, and when you find the game, the official title is listed as, in strange spelling, or leetspeak, I Made a Game with Zombies, but the cover art says I Made a Game with Zombies in It. So what was your intended title?
So here's one of those things where you know, we could take it and do, like, this big, you know, scandal, like, scandal-esque, Xbox Live indie games restricts developers for this reason or that.
Yes, it's a scandal.
I Made a Game
we
with Zombies
it.
In It didn't fit.
It was just character limitation?
There's a character limit, yeah.
That's what Rich thought.
That's what I said.
And that's why you made the cover art.
Yeah.
There was some
other game that was like, you know, Xbox Live and indie games is bringing us down because they have a 150 megabyte download limit or something, you know, so that got some press coverage, you know.
The real problem is the character limit in the
title. So we could do another big, you know, press coverage on how Microsoft keeps developers down, you know, with the character limit.
All right, so, but officially I should refer to the game as I Made a Game with Zombies in It.
Yeah. I don't really.
The officially unofficial.
I don't care much either way.
All right.
But yeah, I call it. I Made a Game with Zombies in It because so, I mean that's the song, you know.
So if everybody looks this up on their Xbox or on the web, it's hard to find actually because of the strange spelling that you gave it. It's hard to find on Xbox.com. But if you search for just the word "made" M-A-E-D on XboxLive.com, you will find it. So just note that, or GAM3 would probably find it as well.
Right, and I mean right now, I haven't checked in the last 5 minutes, but it's the number one seller and the number one top rated on indie games.
Yeah, it's certainly been doing well. You've gotten ridiculously good press from this. I was reading your blog, and you mentioned, you know, 50 plus thousand downloads and 4.75 rating. We have some commentary about the rating system.
Oh, yes, we do. According to our current curve,
that's not that great, right?
Well, 4.75 is above average.
That is.
Slightly above average. Have you noticed this, actually? As a developer, you're probably more in tune with this, that pretty much everything is rated 4 or above?
For the retail games, they're all pretty good. Yeah.
Even the demos. People rating the demos. Yeah. Very high.
I think it might be some fanboyism going on there. If you look at the indie games, though, a lot of them get pretty bad rated.
Really?
Yeah, actually, now that we're just on the topic already, I did a little survey of like the last like 20 retail games that came out, right? And pretty much almost all of them, except for like 5, got more than a 4 stars. And really, actually, all the ones that actually got less than 4 had under 5,000 votes. And it seems like basically, you can come to the conclusion that if people vote, they almost always vote positively. And so you can even kind of like find a correlation between the number of votes and the rating pretty strictly.
I
have not actually rated one myself. I'm curious if you're allowed to vote more than once.
Yeah, like all the big ones, like Batman, it's got like 4.5 plus stars, 54,000 votes.
In its defense, I think if people are going to vote, it's probably because they want to say nice things about it, not so much say it sucks. But on top of that, Batman's actually been doing pretty well. People say
it's good. Well, that's the other thing, is a game that is more popular, you know, a better game will be more popular, so more people will be playing it, more people will be voting.
All right, so let's talk about your game more. Like I said, you got a lot of press. Everybody from, like, Kotaku and Joystick and little blogs and, you know, little radio shows that have been going on for 5.5 years have said good things about this game. I'm curious how long it took you to make, because it's pretty clear that the game is relatively simple in terms of, you know, technology or time investment, even though you claim that it was built by, you know, legions of people.
That was kind of a statement on how people put a little bit too much effort, I think, into a lot of indie games in sort of the wrong places, you know, like outsourcing art or something, you know. The game itself took, I think it was like a week and a half to do most of the work. And then I put it up for playtest and got, you know, and people said, you know, they wanted to hate it, and they were surprised they actually loved it. And then I put it up for peer review, and it passed in a couple of days. And when it passed that, I was like, I should make a funny press release.
Hilarious.
It's brilliant.
It's not laugh out loud funny. It's kind of silly funny. I don't know. So I put the press release together, and I was like, all right, who am I going to send this to? And then before I knew it, people were like messaging me on Xbox. So I guess, like, the game went live before I was even able to get the press release out.
That's awesome.
I thought I had more time.
But part of the beauty of this game is as soon as you play it, it's got some ridiculously long song, but the bulk of the song is right at the beginning. Those of you who haven't played it, we were trying to play the music for you, and I'm sorry, we could play it out of the speakers of his laptop, but it plays a great song, which kind of explains the game, but it points out that it's only $1, so you're stuck. You can't change the price of this game, right?
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Would you actually, like, logistically, do they allow that? Could you change the price of a game after release?
There is a mechanism in place for it. I haven't really played around with it. Because my old, like, I've got two other games that, like, the first one was just really, for the, you know, it was basically just a, hey, let's see what this XNA thing is all about, you know, so it's not great. And, I mean, not to say my other games are by default great anyway, you know. But, you know, my second game was a little bit better. But both of those games are still for 200 points, you know, and I'd like to reduce them to 80, you know, just because, hey, whatever. I mean, they sell, like, not well.
You know? After the initial, you know, newness is out of the way, just drop them down and get some more sales? That's what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah. You know, like ZP2K9 is, let's see, I got my, yeah, ZP2K9 is the number five top highest rated on indie games right now.
But you're saying it doesn't sell well anyway?
Well, no, it's on, let's see, I think, yeah, it's right on the list of the top downloads. It's like, I think it's like 18th or 19th or 19 out of 20.
So how well has the dishwasher done? Can you release numbers about that since it's an official arcade game? Are you not allowed to say something?
I'm not really allowed to talk about it, but it's done well. I'll say that much.
Okay.
Basically when I was working on the dishwasher, my goal was to be able to, you know, keep funding this little, you know, setup I've got, you know, the one man indie shop who has to pay rent. And I'm going to be able to keep doing that.
Well, that's awesome. I think I want to keep you on for a little bit of next segment, so don't go away when the music starts in a minute. But for those who don't know, we had mentioned that James made the game called The Dishwasher. It did well enough in community games or impressed the right people that it moved on to become an actual Xbox Live Arcade game. So if you research it on Xbox, it says that it's made by Scott Studios. However, Zombies is made by James Zilla because that's his gamer tag. Really the same person. You should check out The Dishwasher. Say that again?
Yeah, it's all the same stuff.
Yeah, same person. So James, stay with us. I want to talk a little bit more when we get back. But for those who are listening, go get The Dishwasher and also get I Made a Game with Zombies in it. We'll be right back.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woo-hoo!
And we are back, Chatterbox Video Game Radio. We still got James with us. James, you're there, right?
Yes.
Fantastic. If you can speak louder or get closer to your phone, it might make it easier for our listeners to hear. That's probably more of an issue with our equipment than yours, no offense. I want to actually get to... We've got some questions from the 2007 Chatterbox Treasure Box. I've been talking about this for about a month now, the game show that we do at PAX. And I had asked you over Twitter, actually, but I didn't get a response from you about this. Are you going to be at PAX this year?
I am.
So you're going to be there in just a few days. Now, the song in the game you made, you've said in the past that you do all the work on your games. Were you the person who wrote and sang the song in I Made a Game with Zombies in it?
Yeah, I had a couple beers when I did it.
Would be willing to supply the beer for you if I could get you to participate in our game show on Friday night.
let's see. What? I don't know if I could.
He's got to check his schedule.
Yeah.
Well, we may be able to play a recording, but I definitely would love it if you would make a cameo at least, and then we could pimp your game out to the audience of what, like 1,000 or 1,500 people we're gonna have there.
It's like, isn't it like 80,000?
Not that many. We're not gonna have all the packs
billion,
there,
I think.
But we've got a large show.
You can throw any number out there. I'll take it. You know.
All right. Well, so we're gonna be in an audience of about 1,000 at the Serpent Theater. This Friday night in Seattle at PAX, 8 o'clock, the Chatterbox Treasure Box show. So I would love it if you'd be there. And actually, we're giving away a bunch of prizes, which include download codes for other games. If you could scrounge up download codes to give away, I'd do that too. No pressure, though, right?
Especially no peer pressure.
Exactly. anyway, so right now, though, we're going to go over 2007 Treasure Box to give people a refresher what this is all about. And I would love it if you, James, could try your hand against Ara with these trivia questions. Are you willing to participate here? Yes, you are. You are. Okay, so here are the categories. The three categories you can choose from. We'll let you go first because you're the guest. Categories are hardware, Rising Fun, as in Land of the Rising Fun or Japan, and potpourri. So hardware, Japan, and potpourri. What would you choose? And you get to choose between 1 and 500.
I guess we'll go with hardware.
Hardware for, like, Jeopardy. For, like, 100, 200, 300?
100.
Yeah. 100. Hardware for 100. Kind of a wussy move, but okay, let's do it. Rich, what's the question?
All right. The question is, what feature was removed from the PlayStation controller during its evolution to the PS3?
Rumble, vibration, whatever.
Yes.
Indeed.
It's 100. Fantastic. So,
all right, we got the sound.
Remember, you have 100 points.
Now, and even just random chords of music. Wonderful.
All right, you get to choose now.
All right. Well, predictably, as much as the Japanophile channel sounds appealing to me, I can't resist but pick potpourri.
Potpourri for
what the hell? Let's go for a cool 500.
500.
All right.
Now, I
we
think
go.
You've seen these questions before, though, so this may be very unfair.
I'm really hoping I have.
All right. Potpourri for 500. What cooking technique is rumored to fix disc read problems with Xbox discs?
Are you kidding me?
Not at all.
This is a $500 question?
James, if you know the answer, you can steal from
microwave.
Our... Incorrect, sir.
What?
Wow. Microwave would assuredly destroy any disc you put in.
James, do you know the answer to this question?
Sauté?
What cooking technique was rumored to actually fix disc read errors with Xbox games?
I do not know.
It was boiling. Boiling the disc.
Boiling. That was going to be my next one.
Actually worked. This was a common issue with Xbox, the official Xbox demo discs.
Yeah.
Right? They wouldn't run in people's systems. They boiled them.
That's kind
which
of
somehow,
like, poaching.
Like, evened out something.
Similar
I don't
to
know.
Poaching. Although poaching is more specifically on eggs.
Yeah.
Generally
all right,
speaking.
James, it's your pick.
Let's do hardware for 200.
All right.
He doesn't have a lot of faith in himself.
He's not crass like I am.
All right. Well,
hardware,
I mean, you missed
is actually
it by going
taking measured steps.
For 200.
Hardware for 2.
What peripheral resembles today dance mats, but is most popular for its use with world-class track meet?
Oh, wait. Is it like the track and field one from Nintendo?
Yeah, yeah. What's the name of that controller?
Oh, my gosh.
Come on. You got to know this, James.
Oh, jeez.
See, you're a PC guy. That's what happens when you go to Carnegie Mellon. You don't play consoles. You're just on PC the whole time.
Well, I never had one in the 80s.
Oh, man. Ask Kangaroo Cat. See if she knows.
She's actually staring at me right now, probably in disgust for not knowing.
All right, well, I'm going to time you out if you don't want to guess.
No, yeah, I don't know.
All right, you want to steal?
That must be the Power Pad.
That's right, the Nintendo Entertainment System Power Pad, which actually is some consider the origin of the dancing game because of the dance aerobics game that was available for that.
Indeed,
didn't take off too well.
Unfortunately, you can't emulate it because the controller was different than standard NES controllers, right? And if you play it on an emulator, it just won't. No, none of the buttons work. It's really a bummer. All right, next question. Ara, your choice.
All right, what's that Japanophile
Rising
channel?
Fun.
Rising Fun. Very clever. Let's do that.
For how many?
Let's go. Let me take a little step back. Let's do a little 400.
All right, Rising Fun for 400. How does the control of menu navigation differ between U.S. and Japanese PlayStation games?
In menu navigation, okay, so... X button is the cancel button on Japanese systems, and circle is the confirm button, and it's the opposite in U.S. systems.
I couldn't have described it better myself, sir. James, were you aware of that?
Well, yeah, that's how Final Fantasy VII was.
And actually...
Really?
Yeah,
the American Final Fantasy VII had the buttons Japanese?
Did it really?
Yeah. Actually, you know, Metal Gear Solid, because I just downloaded that on my PS3, and it's such a you know... It messes with you because it's like if you do anything from like the, you know, the main menu, it's X to confirm, circle to cancel. But then within MGS, it's, you know, circle to confirm, X cancel.
Grr, that's so annoying.
And that's why they made it an X in the first place, if you think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at it naively, you're just like, okay, X is no, circle is yes. Makes sense.
Right.
Not in America.
Us Americans were wacky. All right, so you get another 400 points. So you're up to 500.
Sweet. I didn't even know I was keeping track.
I didn't give you the steal points just because I feel bad for James. James, your next pick. You got hardware, Rising Fun, or potpourri?
Let's do hardware for 300.
All right, moving on up. Hardware for 300. Let's see. What is the name of the bazooka-style light gun for the Super Nintendo?
Oh, Super Scope 6.
Technically, it's the Super Scope. The game is Super Scope 6, but we'll give it to you, sir.
Oh, okay.
There is a bonus flashing at me.
There's a bonus. Well. We'll give him the bonus question.
All right. Bonus question. What is the name of the competing light gun for the Sega Genesis?
Nobody knows this.
Oh, my God.
I got to be honest.
Yeah, that includes me. I don't...
Unless you said it, I won't even know it because I can't remember it. Ara for the bonus steal.
Oh, no,
I had it,
no,
and I don't even know what it's called.
No.
I bet it used blast processing. So. Do I get partial credit for that?
Is that like the blaster, the genificacy?
Dude, none of us know, so we can't even. Like, I make the games and I remember the answers for so long, but 2 years later I don't remember. So this will be the last question of the night. Ara,
you don't have the answers like right in front of you.
Oh, I do. Well, he's running it. Rich is running on his PC. I've got all the answers somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Somewhere in your head.
Yeah, Wikipedia.
Right. Okay, well, if it's the last one, I have to do 500.
So you've got hardware and Rising Fun for 500.
Let's make it interesting. How about James will pick my category?
Whoa.
Well, he already took Potpourri for 500, so you can do...
Let him decide what I'll do.
All right.
Wait, have you done Rising Fun for 500 yet?
We haven't.
Uh-huh, do that.
All right, let's do that.
Rising Fun 500, Rich.
All right, let me find Rising Fun for 500.
Stand by.
All right. I was trying to look up the Sega Genesis light gun. Anyways, what prevented Super Famicom games from running on a Super Nintendo?
This is so easy. How is this 500?
A piece of plastic.
Two pieces of plastic, sir. But yes.
Actually, if you really want to get technical, now that you've gone there, it's because the Super Nintendo games had two slots carved into the plastic where the Super Famicom games didn't. So if you wanted to make a Super Famicom game work on your Super Nintendo, you had to actually carve out those holes yourself.
Or rip out the pieces of plastic in your Super Nintendo.
Yeah, I guess that
would. Either modify the console or each individual cartridge every time.
Certainly.
Yeah. What?
The Menacer.
The Menacer. You're absolutely right.
Oh, no, you're kidding me.
Remember what I said?
The Menacer?
If you said it, I would know. Joe from Pittsburgh is calling. I wonder, is he a friend of yours? I wonder if he wants to participate in more questions.
I will. I'll just not comment.
All right. Well, we're nearing the end of this segment, so I just want to thank you, James, for being part of the show. I would love it if you would make an appearance at our show on Friday night. It's going to be fantastic. It'll be a lot of fun. And since you're going to be there anyway, I'd love you to be our guest. Do you have anything else you want to tell our fans other than go get the dishwasher and I made a game with zombies in it and whatever your other two games are that I do not know the names of?
Let's see, what would I say? Well, I love all these messages I've been getting on Xbox. You know, just follow me on Twitter for I usually just post pictures of my cats, which
I've noticed. You know, you could put pictures of like the artwork in progress and stuff too. People love seeing that insider stuff.
Yeah, I do that now and then, but I don't know, the cats are they're so cute.
Okay. How many lines of code do those cats really write?
Yeah.
Oh, sometimes they write like comma. You know.
Dude, my cats totally stepped on the keyboard once and sent a tweet out and the wrong account. Let me tell you, the wrong account. Anyway. Thank you, James. If you want to follow James on Twitter, it's at Jamezilla, JameZilla. And hopefully I'll see you on Friday, James. We'll be right back.
All right.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's Chatterbox, video game radio.
And we're on the air because the little light says we are on the air.
Yes, it's very useful light.
Sometimes we're even on the air when we're not supposed to be on the air.
So and then all kinds of mischief happens.
Yeah, I should mention our sponsorship then and see what happens. So I'll mention it at least now, uat.edu, the website for the University of Advanced Technology, where, like I said earlier, you can learn about the programs I have to offer as a student of the gaming arts. So I want to say I really enjoyed that quick little interview with James Silva.
That was fun, as did I.
I'm a big fan of his.
I always like a little competition.
I like seeing him on the shows, even though he doesn't know who I am every time I see him. It's a little bit weird seeing him when my girlfriend is with me, because she's essentially in love with him for being this great designer.
That can be very awkward.
Yeah, it's
a
little weird.
I'd be a little careful about that. I'd keep like a pellet gun close by.
No, it's great though. But I'd love to sit and chat. I hope actually that what's great about PAX is that it's so community driven, right? Like you just go there, you meet people, you end up at dinner with them at the Cheesecake Factory, which is right nearby or wherever. Yes. You just get to hang and talk to people.
And you meet with potentially greater alpha nerds who threaten to remove your girlfriend.
Yeah, perhaps. And he has cats. She loves cats. So really, it would be a losing battle for me. But
you have the pellet gun, and so that's the equalizer.
Well, I won't do that. I will have lighters, though. I think I mentioned in the past that Pandemic Studios, thanks to Rich reaching out to a lot of people for us, they sent us a whole bunch of replica Zippo lighters for the Saboteur. And they're going to be at the show, too. Whoever it is that does their – I don't have the guy's name in front of me, unfortunately. I think his name is Michael. Going to be at the show that we do on Friday. So that'll be awesome to meet them and give away stuff.
Our friend Joe has been so diligently waiting on the caller line.
Yeah, he's waiting. Can we bring Joe on the air?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
What's up, Joe?
All right. You're on Chatterbox.
Hey, that light gun for the Genesis was called the Menacer.
Yeah, yes. Rich looked it up, man.
Crap.
Right? Yes. No, it's cool.
Thank you.
But it was awesome. It had like 8 parts that you had to assemble and like different.
Yeah, it was
and
all
it had
about
like a double scope, like binocular things
that nobody ever used.
I know, it was awesome.
Yeah, nothing supported it except the 6 crappy little games that came with it.
So, Joe, do you want to participate in the game a little bit? We'll pick you up against Aura.
Yeah. Sure.
While you're calling, are you going to be at PAX this weekend?
Ah, no, man. I'm in Pittsburgh. I'm far away.
Dude, I'm in Phoenix. I'm still going to be in Seattle this weekend.
Unfortunately, I do not have the money to fly there.
Let me teach you about Bernoulli's principle. It can get you there quickly. Anyway, so we've already done... What did we do? We did Potpourri for 500. We did Rising Fund for 500. We have not done Hardware for 500. So I'm going to throw out Hardware for 500 to Joe. Rich, lay it on him.
Alrighty.
Okay, Hardware for 500. Name the Nintendo console that is also a game controller which plays Nintendo 64 and Super Nintendo games from a 64 megabyte flash card.
Wow, I have no idea.
Yeah, no, you don't. Let's go to 400.
Can you give
me
a hint?
Do you know it, Aura? You don't know it.
I didn't even.
It's a Nintendo 64.
China.
It's a Nintendo 64 controller that has a whole system inside of it. It uses a 64 megabyte flash card and it plays N64 and Super Nintendo games.
Oh wait,
I've seen little things that came out like that did like Atari games and stuff.
No, but this is official from Nintendo.
This is from China?
It's for the Chinese audience.
Okay, so hold on, maybe I can make up the name and guess right. Super Mega 64?
No.
Super Mega 16.
No. Some of these questions are always really really hard. It's the IQ. Right, it's weird that Nintendo doesn't one of those something with an I in front of it. Let's go back to 400.
I thought
that
for sure it had the word super
okay,
and
so
mega.
So we're going Hardware for 400. It sounds like
yes, hardware for 400.
What handheld system has a built-in horoscope?
Also a really hard one.
Wait, this is my turn or his turn?
We're gonna stick with Joe. I want to give him a chance here.
All right.
What handheld system has a daily horoscope built in?
Was it released in America?
It was to a limited. Limited audience.
Maybe the Neo Geo Pocket?
Hell yes, it was the Neo Geo Pocket.
Well done.
Actually, I'm not sure if it was just the Neo Geo Pocket color or if the Neo Geo Pocket also had it, but I'm giving it to you anyway because that was fantastic.
It's good stuff.
Wow. That was great because we know it wasn't any of the Sega stuff.
Yeah, you gave it away with that last one. We know it wasn't the Atari Lynx.
No. The Lynx did have some weird stuff, though, on it.
Like 42 buttons.
With a speaker that like had gravel like pre-installed in it.
He said it could have been the Turbo Express. All right. So, Aura, let's give you one.
All right.
What do we have left?
Surprise me. Just
I don't know. I clicked on a bunch of them, so they all look like they've been
clicked. Crap. So, let's go to consoles for... Let's give you a 500.
Yeah,
consoles we haven't done consoles.
Come on.
All right.
This is a category we didn't mention earlier.
Okay. Rare developed a state-of-the-art technique for generating the visuals used in Donkey Kong Country on the Super Nintendo. What vehicular racing game for the Super Nintendo also used this technology?
Vehicular racing game
really
for the
vehicular?
Super Nintendo. Vehicular, I think, is a stretch when you're talking about Uniracers.
Hey, Alon wrote it.
That's a vehicle. It is, right?
It's not an automobile, but it is a vehicle.
Joe, you're with me on this one, right? Unicorn, not unicorn, unicycle equals is a vehicle, right? It's your responsibility to say Joe. Yes.
It is a means of locomotion. I don't think that it's
actually not a means of locomotion. You have to pedal every single inch of the way.
It's certainly a conveyance. That's if we want to get down to it, but
it
I don't
questionable like a Segway.
Yeah, I don't.
I love Segways.
I don't think that it has enough mass to be considered a vehicle.
I don't know if there's a cutoff. Right. I mean, a Hot Wheels is a vehicle, right?
Regardless, there is a bonus question to this as well.
Oh, a bonus. So this one goes to Joe.
Yes. So what was the specific phrase used to describe the technique?
We keep throwing the hard ones at Joe.
I know.
But he got Neo Geo Pocket. What is the three-letter abbreviation or the full name for the process used to create the graphics in Donkey Kong Country and Uniracers and all the other Donkey Kong Country games?
Oh, man.
Three letters or three words.
Oh, man. I was going to guess rotoscoping.
Three letters?
Three letters, yeah.
Three letters, I have no idea.
Why not rotoscoping?
It's not.
How can it not be?
It's ACM, Advanced Computer Modeling, was the very lame name that they gave it.
I think that's just some garbage they made up.
That's whatever it is, marketing, but that's what they called it. Advanced Computer Modeling.
It's garbage like blast processing.
Yeah, no, right, like blast processing.
That was their counterattack to blast processing.
Look it up, dude.
That was when they figured out, oh, we can have polygons and draw more than four of them on the screen at the same time.
All right, we got one more question we'll throw out. You pick one. It's a hard one. Let's go to Modern, remembering that Modern was in 2007.
Actually, okay. No, that's not what they did at all. They just scanned in their 3D graphics.
They just made it on SGI workstations and then cut the sprite out.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, maybe I'll give you this one.
Okay, what's a good...
Let's go to Modern 400, remembering that Modern equals 2007, August of 2007, 2 years ago.
Should we do the 400's a hard one. I
really?
Think harder than 500.
Okay, well... Go to 500.
We'll do 400, though. Let's do it.
All right. If you were paying attention to Chatterbox 2 years ago, then you would know this.
You'd know this. What gaming exec wagered against the availability of his company's console during an interview with EGM?
Gabe and Tycho talked about this extensively.
Yes. And I don't remember who it was specifically.
I do.
There's two in my head, and I'm pretty sure I know who it is.
Yeah,
but.
I'll give you a hint. It's a big guy at Sony. And this one, do either of you know the answer to this?
I think we're both waiting for the other to answer.
Do either of you know it?
Joe, do you know it?
I have no idea.
Psh. Ara?
He's at Sony now, or was?
I believe he's still there.
Sony?
He was at Sony at the time. He may or may not be there. Today.
The bonus question on this is one that nobody will know.
Oh, it's that guy. It's that guy.
That guy. Yes. That
well
guy.
I'm going to have to.
Jack Tretton. And the bonus question is how much money does he owe Gabe and Tycho? And that
indeed.
Was just. That was for the Penny Arcade audience specifically. Someone in the audience surely knew that one.
Yeah. After about 8 people or 12 people just guessed random numbers.
It took a while. Yeah. All right. So one more question from that group.
We'll do Modern 500.
All right.
What independent game studio was started in the wake of Capcom's Clover Studio?
I don't remember the answer to this one.
I do.
Okay.
Let's have
Joe. All right, let's go to you first.
Let's go to Joe.
Okay, Joe, do you know this?
I do not.
Really?
What? Okay. So
they used to be Clover Studio.
And now they're...
Capcom shut them down, and then they were like, well, let's do our own thing, and screw Capcom, and... What are they called now?
Oh, man.
What game did they make?
You know, I don't even know what they've done since they've been the new...
Wrong question, Joe.
I don't know.
That's for another game. Like I said, I don't remember the answer.
It's totally, totally not happening.
Rich, I thought you remembered. Now you're looking it up?
No, I was trying to see what game they've come out with.
He lost it.
So what is it?
It's Seeds.
Seeds? The hell is Seeds?
Seed.
Oh,
I think it's seed or seed.
Seed?
It might
I think
be plural.
It's a seed.
It might just be singular. I'm not sure.
I'm going to go with singular. All right. Well, anyway, that's what our show is going to be like
it's
on this
seeds.
Friday.
It is.
Although,
it is plural.
I got to say, a lot of our questions are much easier. It's tough because you have to put a bunch of easy questions so that the contestants will get the answer. Because when you have a group of only three, the chance of them knowing all the super hard stuff is not going to happen, right? But when you have a sea of 1,000 people where you go to the audience, which is what this game is all about, you want them to be hard questions. So my goal is to get like half of them answerable by the contestants and half of them have them not answer so that I have to go to the audience and then get the audience's responses. So, Joe, I wish you would be there. Unfortunately, obviously, you're not going
to
make it.
I have a job, and I have to work. And
I got a job, took time off. That's what vacation's
for. You
know
what? In Joe's defense, they've run out of tickets, so he can't even go, even if he wanted to.
I could get him in. Anyway,
I'd get all the way out there, and then I'd be on the outside looking in.
Nah, man, I'd get you in. Anyway, thanks, Joe, for calling. I had to dump you off now, cover a couple things before we go. We've got about a minute and a half left. We have sponsors that have helped us make this event that's upcoming possible. EA has provided some products for us. Who are the other ones? Atlas provided a bunch of games for us. Pandemic Studios, we've mentioned a couple times. Talk to them on Twitter as well, at Pandemic Studios. That's their username. Provided those lighters for us, which are really cool little things. We've also got Red Links, the people who make Trials HD. They give us some download codes. That's pretty awesome. I've even got a copy of Worms for the Xbox.
We got Nicholas
to give away. We got Team Nicholas.
That's right. Nicholas
Inc. giving away 10 WiiWare games.
Who's publishing Cave Story?
Cave Story will be out sometime soon. You might even be able to play it at a public event sometime soon. And we will be able to give those away as soon as they're available. We'll be giving away the little passes for future download at the PAX event. It's going to be great, and I hope you guys will be there. I know that some of you listening will certainly be. And we didn't talk about a whole bunch of stuff we wanted to talk
about.
There's
about 80 topics we missed, because the hour passes just so quickly.
Yeah, really. And next week we're just going to be talking about PAX, too. So we'll punch through a couple things next week. But thank you so much for listening. Make it out to PAX this week. Definitely come to our show at 8 p.m. in the Serpent Theater on Friday night, first day of the show. We'll be back next week, everybody.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bass are belong to us.